Let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. And as you turn there, we're going to be reading one verse this evening, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 30. Hebrews 11. Verse number 30. Notice the Word of God says, "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days." Again, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. We're dealing in this chapter with the subject of faith. The thing that is interesting is that we note in verse 29, "By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned." And then he jumps all the way to Joshua. And between there is quite a bit that's missing. But we've already looked at that because he's dealt with that in the book of Hebrews. So as we come to verse 30 here, there are only really two, if you would, main groups that are dealt with in verse 30. We find the people of Israel who went into the promised land and had their first main battle there in Jericho. But then the last one, the last really person that's being dealt with is verse 31 is Rahab, who was part of Jericho and who did not perish. But we have a whole generation that's missing there. And the whole generation that's missing, he's already talked about that generation in the book of Hebrews. And their problem was what? Faith. Faith. A whole generation died between verse 29 through verse 30. But that second generation did what they did by faith. And there is a reminder because he has just likened these Hebrew Christians who were discouraged, talked about their laziness and their immaturity, and has pointed out to them that don't be like the generation that is missing in this chapter. And may the Lord help us to not be like that generation that is missing in this chapter. Let's pray this evening and ask the Lord to bless His Word to our hearts, and that God would speak to our hearts this evening. Father, we thank You again for Your Word. As we continue to, study this book of Hebrews and this chapter particularly on the subject of faith, we pray that You would help us to examine our faith, to see, Lord, where we are in our Christian maturity. I pray that You would help us and give us a desire to continually grow. May we never stay stagnant and be satisfied with where we are. We know that we have not reached perfection. There is still a long way to go. And I pray that You would help us to take the next step in our lives to bring us to further maturity and likeness to Jesus Christ. And for that we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now before we deal with this chapter, I want us to go back and examine, because again, as I've been saying, this whole book has been really building up to this point, chapter 11, where he deals with faith. Now, these Hebrew Christians were very familiar with the men and the women that he has been mentioning. Well, there's only two women, Sarah and then Rahab here. But he's been mentioning all those people that they are very familiar with because they're part of that heritage. They're part of that lineage, if you would. They're part of the children of Abraham. And so perhaps some of them could still identify themselves with certain tribes. And he reminds them that everything that they did was by faith. Now the word, many times in the Old Testament, as we've been examining, the word faith is not found. But God pulls the curtain away and lets us know that everything that they did was by faith. Now he's been pointing out several things in this book. If we go back to chapter 3, in chapter 3, the author of the book of Hebrews is kind of challenging them to the fact of, in verse 8, notice he says, "Harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation," notice, "in the wilderness." The generation that was in the wilderness is the generation that's missing between verse 29 and verse 30. And they provoked the Lord. Notice the Bible says, "When your fathers tempted me," notice how he refers to them, "your fathers." You see, they are related down the line to those who were their fathers. Notice, tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Verse 10 says, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of what? Unbelief in departing from the living God. He goes further down in verse 17 and says, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that, what? Believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. You see, a lack of faith produces defeat in the Christian life. These Israelites were not able to enter into the full rest of God because of their lack of faith, because of their unbelief. If you go over to chapter 5, he goes on and he points something out that was going on in the lives of these Hebrew Christians. In verse 12, he says this, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He points out to their maturity, and we see here that a lack of faith produces immature Christians. Not only does a lack of faith produce defeat, a defeated Christian, but it produces an immature Christian. We go on to chapter 6. Notice in verse 12, he says, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs the promise of the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. We see here that a lack of faith produces laziness in the Christian life. So he's been pointing out here to these Hebrew Christians who, because of a lack of faith, were defeated, were immature, and were lazy. That describes a generation that stands between verse 29 and verse 30. But here we're dealing with another generation, a generation that saw the unbelief of their fathers and their mothers who refused to enter into the promised land. Now we have the generation following them who have been waiting for 40 years, who have been suffering in the wilderness because of the consequences of their unbelief. And that generation now, that generation, did what they did by faith. So as we stand in contrast, he is noticed contrasting the children of Israel, whom he's already dealt with. Don't be like them. Be like the children of Israel, who by faith saw the walls of Jericho come down. There's something we learn here from the children of Israel. There's something we learn from that generation that we can apply to our faith as well. So this evening, I want us to consider this thought, the effective advancement of faith. The effective advancement of faith. The truth is, that generation before verse 30 was ineffective. They didn't do anything. Do you know what they did for 40 years? They wandered around and waited to die. There is much more to the Christian life than waiting around to die. There's much more to the Christian life than that. May we not be wilderness Christians. We must be promised land Christians. And what is it going to take? It's going to take faith. So let's examine their faith as we consider Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. Again, the Bible points to us, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Notice, first of all, we see faith produces confidence. Faith produces confidence. If we go back to Joshua chapter number 6, and let's look a few things here, a few verses here and there, as they prepare to go to battle with Jericho. Now remember, when the children of Israel were in the wilderness the first time and about to go into the promised land, Moses appointed a spy out of every tribe, and they were to go into the land and to find out if this was exactly what God said it was supposed to be. And sure enough, when the 12 spies spent that time there, they came back and they brought proof of the fact that it was exactly what God said it would be. God said it would be a land flowing with milk and honey, and sure it is a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's the proof. Look at all those grapes. And it took two men to carry a cluster of grapes. And so here, this is evident. This is the promised land. This is what God promised. But what happened? They did not enter in because of what? The Bible points out to us, it because of unbelief. They were terrified at the enemy. They said, we cannot do it. We cannot take the land. God said to that generation, you go in, I give it. One message. He said, we don't believe that. The next generation said the same thing. You go in it, I give it. That second generation believed God. You see, that second generation had faith in God. Notice, what is it that gave them that confidence? You see, faith in their lives produced confidence. As Christians, although we live in an uncertain world, we ought to have confidence. Now, this is not talking about self-confidence. This is not talking about confidence in ourselves. We're talking about confidence in God and His Word and His promises. And faith produces confidence. Notice in Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, notice, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. That is it. That's the promise there. I have given thee. I've given it to you. Now, Jericho is not like this. You know, it's not like a wall. It's not like a wall like this. Apparently, there was, based upon the historical findings, the people that look at Jericho, it was, a double-walled city. According to what we find in the Bible, there were houses that were built on the wall. So this is not a skinny little wall that we can just climb over or plow through. This is a huge wall. And apparently the people in Jericho were not bothered by the children of Israel being there. They were just shut in and they said, they can't come and get us. They can't defeat us. There's nothing they can do. They cannot defeat this wall. But yet, they were confident because the Lord said, I have given into thine hand Jericho. You see, the Lord produces confidence in the heart and mind of Joshua by delivering him a promise. What's the promise? I'm giving it to you. It's yours. That's the same message He said the generation before. You see, God told Abraham the same thing. Remember, God told Abraham, go into a land that I will show thee of. But that's not all He said. With that command, He says, but here was the promise, Genesis 12:2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. You see, God didn't just say, go to the land. He accompanied that with a promise which gave Abraham, by faith, the confidence to obey God. You see, the Christian life is not this passive thing, I don't know if I should obey God. No, we ought to be confident if we have faith, and if we have faith, it produces that confidence. God told Moses to bring the people out of Egypt, but He also gave Moses a promise, Exodus chapter 2, verse 12, and He said, certainly, I will be with thee. Jesus told the church to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But He also gave them a promise in Matthew 28:20. He says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He also gave them a further promise, or by the way, it was an angel, in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, which said, this same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him come into heaven. And so we see here that God, yes, He gives us the instruction. He tells us what to do. He gives us the command. But He gives us a promise, and by faith, these types of promises produce confidence in our lives. You see, why did they go in? They went in because they were confident in the promises of God. As to the generation before was not confident in the promises of God. There was no confidence there. You see, confidence is not self-produced. It is faith-produced. Confidence is not self-produced. It is faith-produced. Confidence is simply the result of one's faith in the promises of God. How could Joshua go to the walls, and we'll see the instruction in just a moment, and say, look, just walk around the city. What? Can you imagine here? Blow the trumpets. What does that speak of, the trumpet? The trumpet speaks of confidence. Why? Because they're loud. They're boisterous. Everybody's going to hear a trumpet. And that shows confidence. Why? Faith produced confidence. Where it was not in that generation before. You see, why were they not confident enough to go in? Because there was no faith. In the Christian life, what is it that causes us to obey the Lord and be confident in that? Faith. You see, if we are not confident in obeying the Lord, there's the flag that waves and says, no faith. Unbelief. So it's not about, again, stirring ourselves up. It's about believing God. So we not only see here that faith produces confidence, as it did in that generation, but number two, we see faith delivers a command. Now, if you notice here, God, to that previous generation, because they did not have faith, God did not give them a command. As a matter of fact, really, well, He did give them a command, but it was not a good command. He said, all right, you're not going in. You're actually going to wander around for 40 years in the wilderness. So I guess that was the command. But notice this second generation was given a command after faith. Faith delivers a command. In Joshua chapter 6, notice verse 3, this was the command. After God tells Joshua, I have given Jericho into thine hand. He says, tells him in verse 3, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. Verse 4, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Notice, faith delivers a command. You see, faith is not without duty. Faith believes the promises and goes a step further and obeys the commands. You see, faith is not a life of all promises and no precepts. A lot of times we think, well, faith is just about, you know, sitting back and just trusting God. No. By faith, it delivers command. You see, God says, you trust me? Here's a task for you. There is no task given to someone that doesn't believe God. There is no task and no duty given to someone that just wants to sit back and refuses to trust God. But when someone does trust God, God says, that is the person I want to use. That is the person that I want to give a task for. I want him to complete something. So faith will deliver a command. Faith and obedience, by the way, are inseparable. Someone that has faith will obey. A person with a sincere faith will accept and obey the commands or the precepts that are delivered unto them. So faith, notice, and by the way, that command of, okay, go into Jericho and compass it, first day, walk around it once, second day once, 6 days, on the 7th day, walk around the city 7 times. That command was not given to the first generation. Why? Because no faith. But because the second generation hath faith, then the command is delivered. I hope that we're that generation. Do you want to be that generation that receives the precepts and the commands of God? Then faith is necessary. Faith is necessary. So faith produces confidence. Faith delivers a command. Number three, faith requires commitment. I don't know if you think it's strange. I think it's strange, the command. But that's not my responsibility to give my opinion on what I think about it. You know, you think sometimes we think in our minds, well, let's attack the city. Let's God come up with a big plan. No. Faith requires a commitment. In other words, God is going to test their faith as He gives them this particular command. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30, again says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about, how many days? 7 days. What does that tell us? It would take much work, much organization on the part of Joshua and the Israelites. On the seventh day, they were to march not just one time, but then 7 times around Jericho. Living by faith will require effort and commitment, if you would, on our part. John Butler wrote about this. He says, faith does not give us an easy chair to sit in, but tells us to put on our work clothes and get busy working. Sweat and faith go together just as much as obedience and faith. You do not have to tell people who are living by faith if you are living that way. They will be able to see if by the sweat of your brow, as well as a number of other telltale signs. Joshua chapter 6, verse 12, the Bible tells us that Joshua rose early in the morning. Later in verse 15, the Bible says they arose early, talking about the children of Israel, about the dawning of the day. You see, this their rising early speaks great volume concerning their faith. It was committed to go all the way through. You see, 7 days. You see, faith is consistent. Faith will say, today, let's do it again. Today, let's do it again. Today, let's do it again. But you notice, the closer they got to it, the greater the task became, and the greater the commitment. Because the last day, he said, it's not just one time this time, I want you to do it 7 times. Even greater commitment. You see, God basically prepared them day after day. All right, you're faithful today. All right, here's one more day. Here's one more day. Here's one more day. Here's one more day. All right, here's the last day. Now you go 7 times. You see, that would reveal their faith. And may I say that faith requires, if it's going to be consistent, true, and sincere, requires commitment, persistency. It requires this patience that He's been talking about in this whole chapter. It doesn't come easy. Which leads us to the next point. Not only do we see that faith produces confidence, faith delivers a command, faith requires a commitment, but we see number 4, faith persists by composure. And what I mean by that is we look at the composure, if you would, of the Joshua and the children of Israel. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 14, the Bible tells us, and the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp, so they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. A week was to go by before they would manifest God's deliverance over Jericho. It was not instant. But nothing with faith is instant. Except for peace that comes with trusting God. The result that we want to see the faith is never going to be instant. Now, because of my nature, I want it to be instant. Oh, you see, God, I'm trusting You now. I'm going to obey You now. All right, let's go. And let's see the fruit of that. But no, we see their composure. The Bible says here, think about it, that had to bring the total. They had to march 6 days, one time around the city, and then on the seventh day, 7 times. That would bring a total of 13 times marching around the city before the walls came down. This is not like a little town. This is Jericho. This is a large city. David said, he says, at the outset of conquering the land, the nation of conquerors had to first conquer their own spirit. You see, why was this that 7 days? There was something that they had to conquer in their own hearts. Am I still trusting God today? Am I going to go around the city one more time and on the seventh day? Or am I going to go to the city once? Let's do this. Are we going to do it one more time? Yes, let's do it one more time. Alright, one more time. 7 times. Proverbs 16:32 tells us, he that ruleth his spirit is better than he that taketh the city. You see, the principle here is for us is that someone that learns to trust in God, that rules his own spirit, that keeps his composure as he trusts God by faith, is better than someone that conquers a city with his own hands. And that's what was demonstrated by faith. Matthew Henry wrote, he says, as promised, deliverance must be expected in God's way, so they must be expected in His time. This was not about Israel's timeline. This was about God's timeline. And that's what faith, and that's how faith keeps its composure. In other words, faith persists in composure because it looks at God's timeline, God's instructions, and relying on God and not self and not what we want and not our ambitions and our timing. It's about God. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, we've already dealt with that verse, but the Bible says, ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. You want to receive the promise? Do the will of God. You want to do the will of God? You're going to need one thing. Patience. So you want the promises, right? Just do what I tell you to do. Just so you know, on the journey of you doing the will of God, there's one ingredient that's necessary. Patience. You see, our composure as we trust God by faith on a daily basis will happen eventually. God will bless. God will bring the promise to fruit. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Who brings the reaping? God does. But what do we have to do? We have to in due season. You know what that means? We don't know when it's going to come, but it's coming. See, that's what faith says. In other words, faith does not sit frustrated and say, well, I'm living for God, but I don't see any difference in my life. Well, I am praying faithfully, and I just don't see God do a work. In due season, you will reap if you faint not. So we see here, not only faith produces confidence, faith delivers a command, faith requires commitment, faith persists by composure. But number five, we see that faith expects a conquest. It expects it. It knows it's coming. Now notice here in Joshua chapter 6, notice verse 16, the Bible tells us, and it came to pass at the seventh time when the priest blew with the trumpet, Joshua said unto the people, shout. I don't think he said it that way, but I'm sure he was screaming to the top of his lungs there. The Lord hath given you the city. And the Bible tells us down in verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Notice this shout took place before the walls of Jericho fell down. They shouted. Why? Because the city was theirs. And by faith, they knew the city was theirs. So the shout of victory takes place before the walls come down. And one of the commentators wrote, he says, easy enough to shout after the victory. There's no accomplishment in that. But this was to be given in assured anticipation of the same. It was faith's shout of conquest. You see, faith shouted. Why? Because faith said it's already won. We won the victory. Why? Because God has said it is won. So therefore, faith expects the conquest. It doesn't say back, I don't know. I don't know if we should shout yet because the walls are still not down. The promises of God, faith. You see, faith expects a conquest. Isn't that what he told at the beginning of the chapter 11? Now, faith is what? Is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The walls did not come down. It was not seen. But faith said, they're down already. Why? Because God said it. Because God said it. Faith shouts before the conquest because it knows it is coming. God had already promised the victory, as we read in Joshua chapter 6, verse 2. And so the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given it into thine hand, Jericho and the king thereof, and all and the mighty men of valor. So faith shouts because it believes God's word about the victory. Again, faith is not this thing that's unseen. Well, you know, like, I'm not sure. No, no. Faith is not this foolish thing. Faith is believing the promises of God. Something that is sure. This is sure. This is a pretty good record. In other words, every time you see in the Word of God, where God says, you do this, and I'll do this, and the people of God obeyed it, God did it. There was no wavering on the part of God. The only people that waver are our people. God does not waver. So faith expects the conquest. Now thinking in that previous generation, no conquest because no faith. No composure, no patience because no faith. No commitment because no faith. No command because no faith. No confidence because no faith. But we see lastly in the closely we hear, faith enjoys God's care. Now, in verse 20, the Bible tells us at the end of the verse, the Bible says, and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Now the expression here, every man straight before him. This tells us that the walls did not fall outward upon the Israelites who were walking around. The walls fell inwards towards Jericho so that the Israelites could go straight before him into the city. As far as to our record, nobody lost their lives. Nobody died out of the Israelites. We'll see next week there was even by faith, Rahab. You see, she believed and therefore God spared her. But you see here what faith enjoys? The enjoyment comes after faith has been clearly manifested. Do we understand that? The enjoyment comes, the care of God that He gives to the children of Israel only comes after what? After they've placed their confidence in God and His Word. After they've obeyed the command to the letter. After they have been committed day after day. After through that time of commitment they kept their composure and their faith in God. After they shouted before the victory was ever done. That then, and only then, do they enjoy the care of God. In our lives, and the children of Israel were struggling with, or the Hebrew Christians here in the book of Hebrew were struggling with, what they wanted is they wanted the care of God first. That's what they wanted. God, would you make it a little easier for us, remove the persecution? God, would you allow me to remove this problem from my life so I can serve you? God, if you do this for me, then I will have faith in you. That's not the way it works. It's not the way it's ever worked. He's telling these people here, these Hebrew Christians, faith comes first in your life. And there has to be a track record through your life of faith. Nothing comes easy. But realize, don't try to remove the problem to say, I'll have faith. Have faith and be faithful in that faith, and then God will be faithful. You see, this is not God's fault that these Hebrew Christians were struggling. It was the fault of their faith or lack thereof. And He's reminding them by Hebrews chapter 11, by saying by faith, I want you to know. Remember that generation I talked about in chapter 3, 4, and 5, and 6? That troubled me because they had no faith, therefore they were not able to enter into rest. That's where you are, Hebrew Christian. You are not able to enjoy the blessing of God and the rest of God in your life because you haven't started with the right thing. And faith is that necessary ingredient. You wonder, Christian, why you're immature, Hebrew Christian? You wonder why you're lazy? Let's go back to faith. Isn't it striking that all those points that we see according to the second generation, all those points are in direct contrast with laziness and immaturity? You see, the person that's immature is not committed. The person that's immature, a child, is not patient.
And I think everybody knows that. A child is not patient. But yet here, the second generation produces those things. How do you, you know, sometimes we say, well, we have to emphasize character. No, in the Christian life, we have to emphasize faith. Because faith produces the character that's godly in people's lives. Say, well, if only I could be like this. No, if only I could just simply take God at His word, believe God, and remain there. And be faithful. Then God will. May the Lord help us as we examine our faith, because this is this generation. We see the effective advancement of faith. They advanced into the promised land. Now there was, obviously, we'll see, you could read the book of Joshua. There were some problems, obviously, there's people there. But as a whole, they advanced by faith. And it was effective, by the way. That's pretty effective. Nobody died, and the walls of Jericho came down. That's a pretty effective strategy. For the Christian life today, there is still a pretty effective strategy, and that strategy is faith. Faith is a strategy. So what are we going to do? How do we reach this world? How do we support more missionaries? And how do we do what we do for God? Faith. Because faith does things in our lives that God gets the glory for, and that God does the work. So we sit back and we, by faith, then we get to see what God does. And we get to rejoice in it. Why? Because it's all of Him. And we see that by faith, the second generation was effective. But every time after this in the book of Joshua, that second generation, also they saw the great victory of God. We see them at moments with sin and being in the camp. And at times, a lack of faith and being afraid of their enemies. In other words, you see what it does? Even though that generation saw a great miracle by faith, eventually, sometimes it wavers. And in our lives, we have to constantly bring that back to the forefront and say, all right, this morning, today, am I going to have faith? Now, it's not this general thing that the way people refer to it. Well, have faith, you're going to have good weather today. No, it's faith in the promises of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And he tells them clearly here in the book of Hebrews that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The just shall live by faith. Do we realize this evening, do I realize this evening, that there's no other way to live a Christian life? There's no plan B for the Christian life. It is only to be lived by faith. May the Lord help us.